Roll call, please.
Vice President Guerrero.
Present.
Director Lucy.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Searcy.
Here.
We got a flag salute.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the agenda review. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we accept the agenda.
I will second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, agenda is approved. Number five, public comments.
Chairman Guerrero, we have a couple people speaking in open comment today. First we'll go with Mr. Tom Martin.
Tom Martin from South County Sanitary. I just want to remind everybody that since Christmas is on Sunday and New Year's is on Sunday this year, there is no change in the collection schedule. If you're a Monday customer, the guys will be working Monday the 26th, and they'll also be working the Monday after the New Year's holiday. So no change this year. Just put it out, and we'll take it away like always. The other thing I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce Brett Faulkner. He's the operation manager that's on board with us, and he's stepping up to the plate, so you'll probably see his shining face around more often. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome aboard, Brett.
Thank you. Next, Chairman Guerrero, we have Joe Schacker.
Good evening.
Good evening. Joe Schacker, Security Court, Oceano. Just a couple comments, maybe one comment about the what's been happening on resolving flooding issues, particularly to the Meadow Creek Lagoon. The county has done some work on Delta, but that doesn't affect the Meadow Creek Lagoon at all. The county has put up a couple sensors, and that doesn't affect Meadow Creek at all. The county came by and cleared the ditch along Loha, which we want it done, but which results in just water sitting there and growing stagnant and attracting mosquitoes, because it can't flow into the Meadow Creek Lagoon, so it doesn't help the flooding at all. In fact, now we have mosquitoes where once we had debris, which was probably better. And what bothers me, though, is if you survey along people in the community, they probably think everything's going fine because the Tribune and other avenues of advertisements have made it sound like Public Works and the county supervisor are doing everything they can. What's today? Today's date is December 14th, just 5 days before we have the 1 year of the flooding. I suppose that they're counting on a La Nina this year, which is a little less rain, because nothing's been done. The county supervisors instructed Public Works to go ahead and put the pipes in along Juanita. That hasn't been done. So what happens if we get some rain all of a sudden? It's going to flood again. The other disturbing fact is I've heard that we've spent so far, the county has spent so far $100,000 or in that area. And we haven't had anything done to the Meadow Creek flooding. Nothing. They're looking at cutting down the vegetation in the Meadow Creek Lagoon by bringing in these vehicles that will swoop in and do 10-foot swaths to try to clear the water. The likelihood of getting a permit for that is nil. They're looking at the alternative of putting in pumps that would use the pipes if they were installed along Juanita to pump the water onto the sand. The likelihood of getting a permit for that is almost nil. The real solution has to be to do something with the Meadow Creek Lagoon and to control the floodgates, which they seem to avoid. They seem to think they work fine. They have to know that they have to control the floodgates manually when the creek comes flowing into the ocean. Thank you.
Are clear on what the plan, the fluid plan is at this point. Thank you, sir.
Director Gieselin, is there any other public comment?
No, there's not at this time. Okay.
Moving to agenda 6, board member comments. Is there any board member, or are there any board member comments?
I have none at this time.
Nor do I.
Director Hurdle, Director Lucy?
No, sir.
Let's move to agenda item number 7, report of Sheriff South Station Commander Robin Weckerly.
I have some news. Robin Weckerly, Commander Weckerly, resigned.
Okay.
Not resigned, but retired, off into the sunset, I guess is a better word. Yeah. And so one of our sergeants is here to speak for today, and he'll update us.
Thank you. Sergeant.
Steve Odom, I'm a sergeant at the Sheriff South Station. Not too much news to report. Obviously, we're awaiting a new commander now, as today was Commander Weckerly's last day. So we'll look forward to some promotions at the Sheriff's Office, or a promotion. And the new commander is destined for South Station. So hopefully it'll be a good one.
I'm sure that it will.
I hope
they all
so.
Good?
Yeah.
Don't you just get Barney to step up?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Barney's eligible yet. We've got a new canine down here, Gonzo, and he's assigned to Deputy Souza, and they're in training right now. So they're getting certified for drug detection right now, and then they're going to work on some other certifications, and probably within about 3 weeks we'll have Deputy Souza and Gonzo out on patrol as a B-car for Oceano and Napomo. So, and then we'll have another canine for the Coast Division and another canine for the North Division. So we'll have hopefully that'll help increase our staffing a little bit. I mean, it's not a person, it's a dog, but it's helpful. So we can have one more person on patrol without another deputy with them in the evening. So that should increase our patrol and our capabilities a little bit. And that's about all I have to report.
I just want to say, I know that we had a rough event with the drive-by and the two youths that were shot. And the people I have talked to appreciate your response. The Sheriff's Department in response to that?
Well, thanks. I think that the Sheriff's Department's worked really hard on that investigation. It's a difficult investigation anytime you get into a gang case, because people aren't really willing to cooperate what happened. But I think everybody did a very good job in that, and the community came together, and we went to the tree lighting ceremony at Old Juan's, and that was nice. Hopefully we'll be able to keep a lid on all those activities for a while, but we're doing our best with the staffing.
Right.
Has there been any new development on that shooting?
Not really. Not that I can discuss, anyway.
Thank you, Sergeant Odom.
All right, thank you.
Moving to agenda item 7B, report of Five Cities Fire Authority. I see Chief Ricky Heath is here in place of Chief Hubert. Good evening.
Good evening, Honorable Vice President, Honorable Directors. Ricky Heath, Battalion Chief, Five Cities Fire Authority. First, I would like to apologize for missing last month's meeting. And because of that, I would like to catch us up a little bit on the stats of response. Since October 13th, we've ran 96 calls out of the station, 59 of them being EMS calls, 8 being hazardous conditions, 11 being service calls, 15 being good intention, and 3 being false alarms. This evening also, we responded out to the dunes for vehicle fire, and I believe that'll probably be in the news tonight. KSBY was already calling and asking questions about it. but the vehicle was already fully involved before our arrival. One other thing that I would like to express great thanks to is General Manager Mr. Gieslin for assisting us this last week. Well, actually, it's been 2 weeks now. We held what was called the Truck Academy, and because we staff up the only truck in the South County area, we brought in some individuals from Northern California to provide us the needed training to provide the best level of service. I believe the new chief, Joel Arenas, who's currently the Fresno fire chief, he will be leaving his office in Fresno, and sometime in February he'll be here.
Correct.
To fulfill that. I'm not certain when Chief Hubert is actually, when his last day will be, but there might be a time period where I'll have to act as interim chief.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Chief Hubert.
Sure. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Number 7C, report of OCSD operations.
Chairman Guerrero and board, it's been a busy month since we all last got together. One, I'd like to correct Chief Heath on the, I'm the one that put stuff together, but we couldn't have done it without staff, and all my field guys rallied around making that stuff happen, and it was a big success. We had, if there was a fire in Oceano, everybody would have been protected because we had 30 guys just chomping at the bit. That's what they just learned. So it was an enjoyable experience, and they were in and out of here as well as our well A yard, which we use. We're in the middle of audit and data pool, and we're about to enter the internal controls area that I've said numerous times that has been suspect over the previous 2 years. So the report that will be generated from that will probably come back adverse. But we all know that, and it's just going to go forward. But the auditor is concerned. It also appears that the last audit that we did with Moss Levy may need to be reexamined because there's what they call, if we get federal funds, even through a pass-through in excess of $500,000, then we have to take the audit to the next level. And so we're reviewing that with the auditor currently, and then we will go back to Moss Levy and ask them to regenerate a new report based on these findings. Where the confusion comes in is if there was times when we got FEMA money from way back when, and then we also got community block grant money, and then we also, because of Oceano's special status of being a economically challenged area, we get additional federal funds, and those probably in the last 2 years were not properly identified. So we've gone back through and we've identified those, and it looks like there's a tail end that was in the 8-9 years as well. So it's a well-orchestrated effort to get that all fixed. The other thing is we've discovered that during the past 2 years that we had a lack of internal control, and some of those internal controls have put us in a somewhat tenuous situation, and I reviewed that with the county auditor, and he agreed, but I gave him the corrective action, and he said, as long as you guys make everything square by the deadline, which is next March, then we're okay, and we're well on track to exceed that deadline. We've been dealing with a couple personnel issues, which I will not get into, but they are there on the table, and we'll discuss some of them at a later meeting in closed session. We've had several system failures. The most notably one is the one across from St. Francis Church there, and it's basically where they rob Peter to pay Paul and nickel and dime something versus doing it the right way. So in conjunction with the field staff and advice from Director Searcy, we're looking at maybe replacing that whole line and not just doing a patch job. We've had issue with the new recycling center. I brought it up before, but it needs to be brought up again. They were caught stealing water from the church, it was a condition that they could go in without water, saying that they had an agreement with the restaurant that's right across the alley from them. Only problem is that's owned by a bank, and it's been locked off for over a year. So I strongly suggested that he pay the fees and get his water hooked up, and I'm in the process of getting the county to back that up. We had a lot of activity in Zone 3, both at the Zone 3 meeting and the Zone 3 TAC. The key points that everybody needs to be aware of is that we're trying to get a happy medium with the amount of water that's stored in Lopez. As you know, we're one of the contractors that has an agreement with the Lopez Group, and we pay for it every year. But what's happening is should we have a large storm event, similar to the one we had in 2001, the county has provisions to blow the levee and flood the farm fields, and there's some consternation by the farmers, and it's viably so. And so somehow we have to get an agreement to where we can reduce the level of the lake. How am I going to get paid if I let part of my water go downstream? And then in a worst-case environment, what if we're wrong and we let out 15%, and then we go through 6 years of drought? How do we make that up? So there's going to be some ebb and flow and give and take, but it went from no way to it's on the table now, and the commitment I made was to bring it to Zone 3 and try to get the other member agencies to come to some sort of agreement that satisfies both the farmers and ensures our water supply. Let's see.
Tom?
Yes.
While you're on the water issue, can you slide in there a little bit of this report on NCSSD's water and how that kind of plays into our water? And
how what?
The community service district up on the Mesa.
It has no bearing. It has no bearing on our water. They're a separate entity, and we're a separate entity.
Right, I understand that. But can you like tag something onto the end of your water report regarding that?
No. No, because we can't. It's two separate deals. We don't put our nose in their business. They don't put their nose in our business.
Okay.
They're separate setups. Okay. And that was conferred with counsel prior to me making that statement. Mr. Shacker talked about Zone 1 and 1A. He's absolutely right. Nothing's being done on Meadow Creek yet, but it's being limited because of some permit processes. But as we all sat in that meeting yesterday, there are plans to do things. Whether there's enough time, I don't know. We did have an incident. Normal rain events, I'm out inspecting with our field staff to make sure that we don't have any problems, and we're part of the alert team for the county to let them know. This last rain event, which was small, and I didn't make a trip out, and I told the guys not to go out until Monday morning to go check. Somebody took it upon themselves to put rocks in the flap gate, thinking that they would hold them open. And we took the pictures and flashed it. There's a misconception that the flap gates can be locked, and they can't. They cannot be locked. And there's a misconception about water flow and how that affects the flap gates. But I've seen that presentation so many times, and so have you, that I don't need to go back into it. But we've got a little bit of what I would call vigilante hydrologists out there working on stuff, and I think that's a mistake. And the people in Oceano need to know that OCSD is key point for monitoring, because we're the first on the ground to get there, and we're relaying the information to the county, and we are agitating everybody. And I'd like to cite just the example right away of right outside our doorstep here on 13th and 15th. When we get a rain event, those two are major rivers, and normally Highway 1 gets flooded there. Well, yes, the water does creep into the westernmost lane, but if you notice, after the rain stops, the water's gone, and that's because everybody's been communicating, getting people to clean things out, make sure it goes the way it goes. You're not going to fix a 20-year-old problem in 6 months, and everybody needs to realize that. I mean, in a perfect world, it would be great. Clean the vegetation, move the sand, but unfortunately, while we were all I'm going to say asleep at the wheel, the environmentalists have come in and they passed all these laws and made it next to impossible. We all saw the presentation. 11 people, 11 agencies have to be notified and sign off on something before we lift a shovel or cut a reed. And they're all over the map. And I already shared with you the fact that somebody misinterpreted our last meeting when Mr. Benedict was talking and thought that OCSD had purchased a tractor to go blow away the sand dunes. And we all know that's not true. So it's just, I agree with everybody's frustration. I wouldn't want my house flooded either, but we're taking the steps and we're trying to push people to be aware of it. But I agree with Joe. There is nothing being done on Meadow Creek. It is a problem. The water rises. It doesn't flow, but it does have their attention. It's just how do you get around the obstacle to improvements. And Joe may be right that it may be nil, but in a letter that I got from the Coastal Commission saying that they were well aware of what we were trying to do, and he didn't say in his letter or response that they were going to try and stop it. So that's where that is. As you know, when I first got here, I found we had FEMA funds that were due, and I filed all the paperwork to get that. Mm-hmm. And I was told it was going to be 30 days. Then I was told it was 60 days, 90 days. We're now entering our fifth month, and the government has it, but they haven't processed it yet. So I was expecting a check on December 1st. It's now going to be the 15th. I haven't seen it. And so I'm thinking it's probably going to carry forward to management said that there was $250,000 in that account. And okay, where is it? You know, and so we went through a complete review. Yes, we have the money. The past 2 years, it was mixed in the general fund. It needs to be recategorized. We're backing into the actual number, and then we will set it up in a separate CD. I actually believe that part of it's in that one, our general enterprise CD, but it shouldn't have been commingled there. It should have been a separate deal. But anything that we deal with here, we've got to go through the history and find out where things were. And as I've said before, since June 30th of 2010, everything has been kind of in disarray. But we're on top of it. Again, they've been a big help, and so they're going to go forward with that. On a happier note, we as OCSD participated in the tree lighting at Old Juan Cantina. It was done in conjunction with Verdin Marketing. Adam Verdin's and his sister Eva home it now with the passing of their father. His wife owns a PR firm. They did a great job. Dave Hupty did several weather shots. I'm lobbying that he'll do on the scene at Oceana once a month to keep elevating our status into the part of our let's get the community going thing. We also assisted in the revamping of the playground at the Boys and Girls Club, and we helped them move some stuff, and then several people in the community helped put that together. And though I missed the ribbon cutting, I understand that was a very big success. At the tree lighting ceremony, they had wish lists for things they needed for the Boys and Girls Club, and some of them were binders and paintbrushes and mechanical pencils when the kids do their homework there and all this other stuff. We sought donations from the community, so we have a whole big gift box to give to them, including some of the old binders that we had stored up in the storeroom. So we're never going to use them, so we're going to pass them on to the kids. I had a preliminary meeting with people in the community to look at building an Oceano Economic Advisory Committee, which Director Hurdles agreed to chair, and we're going to kick it off in January. And the reception has been outstanding. Everybody wants to do it. Everybody's excited about the new trend that's going on in Oceano, that we're no longer the world's greatest reality television show, to actually people that are saying they're going to get things done. And one of the things that came out in the State Parks Economic Study, which I attended last week, was that the guy who did the study said that Oceano, if they did any bit of marketing at all to a few different special groups, i.e. like motorcycle clubs and everything like that, that we could stream in economic dollars like no tomorrow. So that was also brought to these other people. So we're going to form a committee, and Director Hurdle's going to chair it, and we're going to look at revamping it, this place the way that it should be. My ideal situation would be that this would, at some shape or form, be kind of like Capitola, California. If you've ever been up there, it's a little place in Santa Cruz, and they get the beach and the tourist, and it's just a nice place to visit. It was also pointed out in the economic survey that most people, when they come to Oceano, stay for 3 days. So they see us for 3 days. It's not a kind of like hit-and-run thing. And it's major weekends, and there's a couple days that we can target. So as far as improving that, I think that's a great step forward, and I'm open for questions.
I have no questions, Tom, but I'd like to say thank you for the outstanding job that you're doing. You're facing so many things, and you're tackling them and resolving them and keeping them in line. So I guess, for lack of a better term, not the people, but the issues. And I really appreciate that.
Well, I thank you. Once again, it's not me, it's staff.
I appreciate
all
of you.
Like I've told you, they've all told me it's the first time in 2 years they've been allowed to do their jobs. And they actually make my direction very easy. So.
The firefighter facility fees that we're tracing to get
it's not firefighter. That's the other thing I need to clarify.
Okay.
It's public facility fees. So it has to go for public facilities. Fire just happens to be first on the list.
Okay.
Which, you know, I know you sit on that board, and mm-hmm. so you're actively looking at that. But, it goes for public facility fees. And so if we want to do an enhancement to the fire station, like put in actual living quarters instead of the
sure.
mobile, if we want to enhance the sheriff station, even if we want to enhance our old fire station or do stuff mm-hmm. To the yard, then all that stuff falls into play.
Fix our roof?
No. Maintenance and stuff does not count for that.
Okay.
It actually has to be an actual planned-out facility that we go in and put.
Correcting all those issues, I remember when here a short time ago when I was appointed, the question was that, how do we make this this community to become solvent again? And I think, with all that that the board is doing, this particular board is doing, to make that happen, and being in the past with the audits not being complete, and the questions were where the money was going and where is it at, and I'm just glad to say that this board is committed to make this district solvent, and in the best and least inexpensive way for services to people of Oceano. So thank you for the good job.
Well, I appreciate it. I'd like to make one other point, and I have to tell you that the last couple meetings that we've had, it's basically just been us. And when people come in to pay their bill and stuff, I said, hey, how come you're not coming to the meetings anymore? You, the community, are a very active part of this deal. You may say something that may not register, or you may say something that could be totally not on where we think we need to be, but that stuff does get logged in, and as you see, we've taken a lot of that, and the more people that come to this meeting, I'm excited about. You can get up there and call me every name in the book or whatever you want to do, but your opinion is valued, whether it's on this side of the opinion or this side of the opinion. We need that information. Otherwise, we start looking at things too microscopically and forget to look at it from 3,000 feet. So all you people that came tonight, I really appreciate that. I want to thank you.
Ditto.
Moving to item 7D, report of OCSD and outside committees from the Board of Directors. Why don't we start with Director Lucy. We'll just come down the row here.
Okay. I did get to attend a lot of things this last month. I attended the RAC meeting last week. I guess I'll go backwards. No, I attended Zone 1-1A yesterday and listened to the county's response to the zone. I don't know, the fifth time that I've heard the presentation. And it's still very unsettling to me, too, as a director. And I'm not quite sure that those are meaningful interventions on the creek. And also, too, is that I can't seem to get it out of my mind, the assessment
that the people paid that along that creek, and how it during election time people were not willing to spread that assessment across all the areas that benefit off that creek. They were they wanted, unfortunately, for the landowners along the creek to absorb that assessment. Okay, so those assessment dollars are being spent now on the work that is being done on the creek, and from just mild calculations and in passing, I've talked to Pavo, and basically about $475,000 has been collected on those assessments, and they have spent a substantial amount of money on the levy. Now, are they meaningful interventions? I can't tell you that, but I do look at the creek all the time, as others do as well, and the permit problems are absolutely problematic. Do I think it's an environmentalist problem? No. Do I think that people started off in this country abusing our natural habitat? Yes, and some very strong laws are put in place, and we all have paid the consequences for not paying attention to the future. And so that's where those bad, bad laws come into play, and unfortunately people like us suffer from it, not being able to get in there and clean the weeds that are causing the soot to sit there. And I don't know if anybody's been under the railroad bridge lately, the trestle, but I had to go like this to get under it the other day, and that's because of all the soot has built up. So the creek is an issue, and I understand with the farming community, their issues in it, they're vested equally, if not more, than a lot of other people. But we also have people living across on the north side of the levee, and so I think the county needs to go back at it. I think the community needs to go back at it, and we need to find some interventions that'll be worthy to all. But the permits are definitely a problem. I attended the RAC. Pavo gave a long, lengthy explanation on the Public Community Services District, and this one is on the back table. And it also is a critique of some of the issues that's going on regarding supplemental water. Now, mind you, I bring this up because, yes, we're very fortunate that we have a lot of water in Oceano. We all know that we're very, very fortunate, but it's our water. And so if you have an area that is pumping 110%, and we're not pumping, right, because we've been asked not to pump because of this wise tale of saltwater intrusion just ran amok, right? They asked us not to pump. Okay, so, but you have somebody else who's pumping 110%. Well, if you have the neighbors pumping their allotment and all the other players pumping their allotment, but we're not pumping our groundwater, but we have another neighbor that's pumping 110%. You know what? I think that 10% is ours. Now, I know that's a out there, you know, theory, but where did the extra water come from? Come on now. You know, if they weren't allocated 110% or whatever the amount is. And I know that I'm probably stepping in a bad, bad place. But if I'm given $10 to spend, right, and there's only $20 in the bank, and somebody else's 10 bucks is sitting there, and I spend 12, they're going to want that $2. You know, and I'm trying to make that as a simple analogy as possible, that I think this issue needs to be looked at. That if you have a community that has overbuilt their resources, and you have another community next door who's been asked not to spend their resources, so we spend more of our money up the hill getting other water, I think they're drinking our water. I'm sorry. You know, and that's my take on our 700 acre feet of water that Oceano is losing out on every year. So as your water rep on Zone 3, that is my opinion, and I'm sure I'll get in many, many troubles for it. Okay, that's my report. How's that?
Thank you, Director. So, Director Searcy?
I have no comment to that. I was able to attend the water rack with Mary the other day, and I did not attend the Zone 3 technical meeting, but I don't know if Tom or might want to elaborate on that, but besides that, I have no other anything to report on any other committees.
I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District on Wednesday, December 7th. There was a number of items on it. Most of them had to do with maintenance issues and approvals for some repairs. Two things that I think concern us, the service charges rate study update. It appears that the three jurisdictions, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano, have different billing reports, and they're trying to get everybody in on the same page and so that everybody's billings can be consistent. One of the problems, thankfully, wasn't with us. It appears that Grover Beach has an antiquated system that only can hold information for about 2 months. And so they're having trouble going back and getting some information out of it.
They're billing information?
Yeah. And so I asked them if they were using a Commodore 64. And, I offered them a Tyler Technology contract, but they weren't willing to take that.
We'll give them a discount.
Okay, yeah, exactly. The other thing was, so that's on the table. That's something that's looking at. There's also a fog ordinance. That's a fats, oil, and grease, where the sanitation district is in charge of going around to the local restaurants, making sure that they're in compliance with the local ordinance for basically cleaning out their oil traps so that it doesn't get in and clog the sewer systems. They've had some situations where some of the larger restaurants, they're going back doing 6, 7, 8 inspections, and the restaurants are still not in compliance. And the problem there is that there's no teeth to the ordinance. So there is on the table a discussion which will be held at the next meeting regarding adding a service charge for reinspections and possibly ultimately some reinspection fees. There'd be no charge for the initial inspection. The idea here is not to put the small mom and pop restaurants out of business, but to make sure that the larger. The end of my reports.
Matt?
Yes.
I have a question about the sanitation district.
Yes.
I have many questions, but this one's as 2012's coming in.
Yes.
Is our bond, because Oceano is 33 1/3% vested in the sanitation district, and a bond was taken out, and that bond matures in 2012. That would mean that the sanitation district is an investment of Oceano. So if our bond is maturing, are we going to start getting a return?
I don't know. That didn't come up, but I will ask.
Okay. But find out about the bond maturing and how that's going to affect us property owners and when we're going to get a return.
Director Hurdle?
I did not attend the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting this week. However, members of the community will be out, members of the council will be out this week making selections of the best homes decorated for Christmas, best businesses, and we're going to get together on Saturday and formalize the selections and make the presentations to the homeowners and businesses on Sunday.
When are you going around to look?
We're driving around individually and taking down addresses, and then Saturday we'll get together and ride and look and make a determination.
All right. So I haven't put any lights up yet.
Get busy.
I'll do that.
And that's it for me.
Moving to agenda item number 8, review and approval of minutes, of the minutes of November 9th, 2011. Is there any comments?
I have none. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of November 9th, 2011.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right.
Well, they want public comment.
Is there public comment on this?
I did have
some questions about some of the reports of the directors, and I thought I'm
using. You got to come to the microphone, Ms. Henson. Usually we get a slip, and the director Giesen will tell us.
Okay. Well, I didn't
know
if I wanted to comment at public comment,
okay,
because I had some questions about each one. So, are you not doing public comment after the directors give their reports anymore? How does that work now?
We have the request is made ahead of time. We have a slip that's filled out. If anybody wants to make public comment,
so if you're, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, based on what the director's reports were, I didn't know if I would have a public comment or not. But when the directors made their reports, I did determine that I had some public comment that I might like to ask the director, each one who made a comment. So at the beginning of the meeting, I didn't know what the public comment would be, you know, what their thing would say. So should I just go ahead and fill one out in case at the beginning, and then if someone says something. It just used to be that the directors did their comments and then they talked among themselves about if they had any questions, and then they asked if there was any public comment about what the director's reports were. So now it's just we fill out the form.
Yeah, the protocol is now that if there's any item on the agenda that you would like to address, that you fill out a public comment.
I didn't see on the agenda what Director Lucy talked about, so I didn't know that I would have a comment.
Well, this particular item is for the minutes of the last meeting. So if you have those minutes,
I'm not quite sure I understand, but I would like to make some comment about what the director.
Carol, just director, just please go ahead.
Okay, Mary Lucy, I had a question for you. I wasn't understanding. And you touched on something that I've had a question about. On the assessments for the Zone 1-1A people, you made a statement that you talked to Pavo, and he said that those assessments amounted to $475,000 that they had spent on cleaning up the creek at Meadow Creek and or anywhere?
No, those are in the... That's in the report that the county's put out, and that's online, those
that's
numbers.
That's what you said tonight.
At the Public Works, there is a report on the activity for the Zone 1A, okay, and what has been invested in the area and the assessments.
Well, that was my question that I've been wondering about, is that that over time, since Zone 1-1A has been formulated, there have been people who have been paying that assessment. And the assessment was to, in fact, maintain it. But most of that money has been spent toward just administrative costs and fees and consultants for Zone 1-1A. And recently, most recently, they paid $150,000 for a consultant, the third consultant, to again consult about doing studies on that, the at-risk area. So I guess my concern is, if they're going to be borrowing money from the flood control to try to eradicate that, where has all the money gone over the years that the people have been paying in the Zone 1-1A? And how many consultants have they hired and used the Zone 1-1A funds that were meant to eradicate the weeds and things to prevent flooding? So that you touched on something that was have been of interest to me, and I wanted to be clear about that because I don't see why they need to borrow money from the reserves unless the money that is the assessment money is being used exactly for what I was told, that it's being used just for administrative costs and a line of consultants over and over again to study the same problem that's gone on for years. And then you talked about you went to the RAC meeting and talked, and Pavel got up and was explaining about monies and grants. And I wanted to ask you if you had something that I could maybe come down and get from the district that would explain exactly what grants and how much and what the grants are for.
Yeah, I would really advise you to go to the Department of Public Works for that.
You don't have that available?
No, we don't have that in depth.
Well, I thought because you gave a report on it that you did have that information.
On the tiny little, every single grant that they've gone into the Department of Public Works, whether it be federal, state, local, environmental, or what, no.
Is that something that we're going to be paying into?
I would have... Pardon me?
Is that something we're going to be matching, or we're...
No, it's not going to be a match... First of all, I have to say is that it may be January 1st for your birthday, right? But it is mid-year budgetary-wise. So sometimes in order to get projects done, if there's you know, fees associated with permits and things like that, which are very, very cumbersome, right, they will borrow from a general fund within their division, right?
Yes.
Until the end of the fiscal year. I'm not saying that's what's happening, right? But if need be, they're offering up to do that, to borrow within to get the projects done. Well, now, I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, right? I'm saying I have budgets, breakdowns,
okay?
I have attachments on how much they've spent, what they haven't spent. I thought that they had been very cautious. You know, I think that administratively, I think that they've, you know, it hasn't been excessive, and I've seen excessive.
Well,
you know, so I would strongly encourage you, if this is your area of interest now, I would strongly encourage you to pull this down off the internet. It's an extensive report published December 7th, and go from there. And you can do that at slowwater.org.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Henson.
And Matt, if I could please, because I have to go to you now, you brought up something that I would like to ask about in your report.
I probably won't be able to respond. Your 3 minutes are up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I'll have to come back and try to get you another time.
Okay.
Thank you. I would like to understand the public comment after the director's report.
Sure. Thank you, Ms. Henson.
Mr. President, I'm all for public comment.
Turn on your mic and talk into it.
I'm all for public comment. Is it on?
No.
Yeah.
No.
There it goes.
Yeah, it's on.
Wait.
Now. Yeah. Oh, you just turned.
Okay.
Look at the donut.
You know, I'm all for public comment, but you know, just this is a clear version of how the old board processed their meetings. We have a clear protocol on how public comment is addressed to our agenda. Our last item was the minutes of November 9th, 2012. The entire conversation was on the report of the outside committees of the board directors. That particular item is for the understanding not only the public but the rest of us board members of what we're doing for the district. And if you know, the public wants to address that, they need to fill out those information cards and speak to public comment, because in my opinion, it actually disrupts our business.
As Ms. Henson pointed out, they don't know if they're going to have public comment. And the cards definitely make things go more smoothly, but we can't force anyone to do it. So if someone, you know, has a public comment at that time, well, that is the appropriate time to raise it.
Well, at least, in my opinion, if they're going to have public comment, they should have public comment on the item that we're on.
I think she tried to get in between
the
two. I think
she was trying to do
get
that.
In between
yeah.
the two.
Yeah. Let's move along. Number 8, we had a motion and a second on number 8A to approve the minutes.
Oh, there was a motion on the floor?
Yeah, there was a motion. It was made by Director Searcy, seconded by Director Hurdle.
Oh, well.
There you have it.
I didn't know there was a motion on the floor. I thought it was still open for discussion, the minutes.
Can I get a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Director Guerrero.
Yes.
Next item is cash disbursements. We have public comment from Ms. Giselle Naylor.
Please, Ms. Naylor.
Good evening, Board. Giselle Naylor, resident of Oceano.
Good evening, Giselle.
My New Year's resolution is to understand the money situation and to understand the warrants. When I see abbreviations on the warrants, I want to understand what they are. So here we go. On page one, legal services. The annual budget is $25,000. The budget available is $12,000 and some. Got that. Going on to page two, at the bottom of the page, I see an expenditure for the general manager. I want to understand what that is. So I see the general manager's name, Tom Giesland. Something having to do with consulting in the amount of $3,875 for professional services. Now, is that monthly pay or is that an item expenditure? I want to understand how to read that. Is that some kind of special service that was performed in addition to his annual rate of pay?
What page are you on, Ms. Naylor? That's
another problem with the warrants. They're not listed by, there's no page number, but what I have is.
Do you have an ID number?
If you go to the ends of the warrants, an ID number, I'm looking at 01-0.
I'd like to remind everybody that Ms. Naylor's allowed to comment, and you're to hold your responses until she's completed her 3-minute comment. Thank you.
We can focus on this. So at the end, I guess it's, right, it's at the end of mine. It's like right, the second to last, yes, page towards the bottom.
Yes. Are you addressing
no,
me?
She's got to go for 3 minutes.
I'm throwing that out to anybody who can explain. Or clarify, so when I read the warrant, I understand what
read
that is.
Read them all.
That's it. That's it. This is going to take 3 minutes.
Would you like me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
Okay. When that is my, when I agreed to step in here at the request of this board to turn this around, we were under the impression that this place was insolvent, that there was no money, and I agreed to do it for $3,875 paid on the 1st and the 15th. So that is my monthly invoice, or by every 2-week invoice on the 1st and the 15th. And that's what you guys have been paying me since day one. When I haven't been here, it's been but as you know, the amount of hours that I'm logging here far exceeds what we originally talked about.
Thank you. And then DISC, what does that stand for? And that's it. The abbreviation by the expenditure, DISC.
Marie, are you familiar with that? Is it just something in the program?
It's in the program.
It's part of the program. It's on every single one of the items.
Isn't it a disc?
Does it stand for like a CD disc, or is it an abbreviation for a word?
All right. Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Your 3 minutes are up. Is there any other public comment, Director Giesland?
An elected a president and a vice president, and then
talk in the mic.
We've elected the president and vice president, and then after that appointments were kind of made in you know, from those two seats, and I would kind of like to see us kind of change that up and maybe just discuss our appointments and how everybody feels in their committees and right here out in the open, being, you know, open to the public and so the public kind of knows where we'll be working at within the district. And right. So if maybe some of that discussion could be brought forth tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Director Lucy, is there anything you'd like to any comments, any ideas?
No, I just have to say is that, you know, I don't have any issues on who holds president and vice president because there's such a level of trust on this board now. It's clear, it's open, there's no side agendas going on. It's all in the right spirit. So whoever chooses to be, you know, chair of the meetings, and I'm fine with however we do that. I think it's great. You know, I tell you, this board is healthier than I have ever seen it. So, yeah, whoever wants those, you know, titles, because that's all they kind of are at this point. In the past, you know, we did need direct officers really bad, but I know that we have to have them, as Molly looks down her nose at me. So whoever decides that, I'm fine with it.
Director Hurdle, is there anything you'd like to...
No, I have no comment.
I don't either. I you know, it's been... 2011 has been a very trying year for the district. I came in January, and... being at a meeting now compared to what it was like for the first half of the year is very different, and you know it's really a pleasure now to come to these meetings, and I feel the same way that Director Lucy does about whomever is running the meeting. I think I'm okay with, and so with that, I think the next part of the discussion is whether or not there's any nominations for president and vice president. And
well, I'd like to make a nomination.
Well, I asked if we could talk about our committees. I mean, if every
the committees. You want to do that first?
Well, I'd like to get if everybody's comfortable. Where
the problem is that's not on the agenda.
Well, it's isn't it part of the appointments?
No, you can do that.
Okay,
we need to ask Molly.
January was like the committee assignments, right?
I think it was. Yeah, it was not December.
Yeah.
Last year it was until March.
Okay. Okay. We can readdress that in January.
Okay, I was just trying to hedge my bet then.
Well, can I make a motion then?
Sure.
Okay, I move that we nominate Matt Guerrero as president.
I'll second that.
Will we accept the nomination?
I will accept the nomination. Thank
okay.
you. Do we need a roll call vote? Oh, wait, actually, I mean, we need to see if there's any more nominations. Are there any other comments or nominations? Do I need to open it up for public comment in case anybody's?
I don't know.
Is there any public comment?
Well, we're doing both seats, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct. Okay. So then I guess the next... should we do the vote first, Molly? Procedurally, I'm not sure. Director Henson? Okay. Ms. Henson.
Carol Henson has a comment.
Carol Henson Oceano. I just had a comment on, I noticed that our president isn't here this evening, and I don't recall the procedures about that, but somewhere in my mind I thought that there were no elections would be done for the president or the vice president or committees be done unless the full board was present. And I see that our president, Lori Angelo, isn't here tonight. And I would ask the legal counsel maybe if there's any issue.
Looking at the bylaws, I did not see that in the bylaws, but I'll look again.
Okay.
Do we want a break?
Okay, I believe Chairman Guerrero is going to call this back to order.
Is AGP ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Call this meeting back to order of the Oceanic Community Services District. It's about 7:53 p.m. in the evening. When we left off, Carol Henson was making public comment.
No. Oh, yeah, all right.
Carol, are you, Ms. Henson, are you...
And I'll move that the motion be put back on the floor.
Second.
Thank you. We found the answer, and there's no issue with one board, as long as you have a quorum, and it's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Is there any other public comment on this item? No? Okay.
Do we have any more public comment on this issue? No, we do not.
All right. So what I think we need to close the nomination.
The motion was to put it back in the motion.
I already put it back on.
And I think we put it back on, and now we need to close the nomination so that we can have a vote, correct?
Correct.
All right. But
we don't need to vote on that motion.
Yes. We have to close the process.
Well, I understand that, but you made the motion to reopen it.
Yeah. No, roll call vote on elections.
Okay.
Caroline?
Vice President Guerrero?
I didn't make the motion.
I know, but you're doing your voting.
Oh, yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Looks like it passes 4-0.
Hey.
Thank you, everybody. So we'll need to move to nomination process for Vice President.
I'll make a motion that Mary Lucy be Vice President.
I'll accept that nomination.
I'll second that then. Is there any other discussion? Any public comment?
No, we have no public comment on this.
Okay, then I'll close the nomination on that. If we could have a roll call.
Okay. President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
I'll abstain. Oh, no. I'll vote yes, because I don't want it to be funny.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Director Searcy.
Moving on to Administrative Item 10B, Discussion, Oceano Community Service District Notice of Public Hearing Regarding Proposed Solid Rate Increase. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment?
Director Guerrero, I'd like to call Mr. Tom Martin to the podium so he can review everything on this issue.
Good evening, Mr. Martin.
Good evening. Tom Martin, South County Sanitary. Back in April, we submitted a request for a rate increase based on the fact that the landfill went up $5 a ton to get rid of garbage, went up $12 a ton to get rid of compost because the compost facility closed and we now had to take it to a facility in Santa Maria to get it composted, and also for a 1% increase in the cost of living raise. As is normal with any time South County Sanitary presents a rate increase request, the four cities of Pismo, Arroyo, Grover, and Oceano hire Bill Statler, the former finance director for the city of San Luis Obispo, to process the rate review and look at it and make sure we're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's like we're supposed to. In June of this year, his report came out, which I'm told that you have a copy of.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Bill was double scheduled tonight, so he couldn't be here. But I'd just like to point out a few things in the overview of the findings. The last South County sanitary rate review was 4 years ago. South County Sanitary Services fully provided the supporting documentation required for the interim year rate request under the franchise agreement. Next bullet in protest. In order to be an effective protest vote, you would have had to receive 931 protest votes because there are 860 customers in this district. So at this point in time, you have one protest vote, which means that it should move forward. And the 5.15% rate increase is in front of you tonight. I can tell you that Arroyo, Pismo, Grover, Avila Beach, and the County of San Luis Obispo have all acted upon this and passed it previously. And I'm here for any questions you have.
Tom, help me with my memory for a moment. Is that the last time we did do the rate review was 4 years, but when we did that, wasn't there some kind of clause in there about that there would be an automatic increase at an 18-month period?
Within the rate making manual, we are supposed to come in annually and present whatever request we have to you. It's built into the system so that
right.
There's a base year, and then the second year after that's an interim, and then there's another
right.
year after that. Because of the way the economy was working and it was still kind of in the go-go years, we were earning more than we were allowed under the rate making process, so we passed on that year. And then it looked like, you know, maybe things would go ahead and continue, and so we passed on that year as well. But unfortunately, the economy fell off a cliff like it did with everything else, and so we finally put together this request back in April.
Okay, so that I want to be clear is that we have had an increase within the last 4 years. We haven't had a review of the contract within 4 years.
No, you have not had an increase.
That we have not had any 1%.
No,
or anything, because I kind of remember something about yes, sir, that you had put it back that there wouldn't be that annual built-in thing, and it was for like 18 months.
The last rate increase was 11107.
11107.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Is there any other questions?
I have a few.
Cool. Tom, I don't mean. Are you done?
You still have more to share. I was dead a long time ago.
Okay. Director Searcy, go ahead.
Welcome, Tom.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
I am going over the review of William C. Slater report that the review. I noticed that in those findings that currently we're Oceano, Grover, Arroyo Grande are receiving a 10%, I guess it's called a
franchise
fee.
Mm-hmm.
And Pismo elects to take a 6%.
Actually, they changed that 3 months ago at their public hearing, and they are now 10% as well.
They are?
Yes.
Now, if Oceano was decide to review that and go to a 6%, would that change the increase in our for our ratepayers?
Well, under the I'm not a lawyer, so I probably should defer to legal counsel, but we sent out a notice under the Prop 218 that said, well, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And I think we're kind of tied to that. If you want to examine whether you want to lower your franchise fee to lower rates, we can certainly do that. Under the rate-making manual, we'll be coming back to you in July with the request for 2013, a year from now. And at that point in time, if you want to change the franchise fee, I mean, I can present any number of scenarios you want. It really is just a mathematical formula.
Right. But I mean, I just you know. But it would change the...
If you wanted to just avoid a rate increase at this point in time, you could lower your franchise. You could lower your franchise fee by 5.15%, and we'd be done. And so I would only be paying you, you know, 4.85 or whatever the number is, instead of the 10%. Now I don't know if you use those funds to balance your budget or whatever you do with those monies. Mm-hmm. Or you can do as several communities have done. Los Osos just is paying me whatever the rate increase would have been out of their solid waste fund until some later point in time. The community of Napomo is doing the same thing to avoid a rate increase to their ratepayers. They're just paying me $6,000 a month. So, yeah, it can be done. It's just math.
Okay. And
facility in Santa Maria. And turned into compost and made.
And so was it unfeasible for you to upgrade your green waste facility and not be burdened with the transportation cost to Santa Maria? Or?
Yeah, the transportation cost to Santa Maria really isn't the driving issue. At Cold Canyon, we were paying $18 a ton to get rid of the green waste because they were turning it into compost and then selling it and that was about a break-even process for them. The differential now is that we're going to be paying $30 a ton to take it to the Santa Maria facility to compost it. Because Brett's done some studies, and when you track the mileage from Oceano to where it is in Santa Maria and Oceano to Cold Canyon landfill, the differential is next to non-existent in terms of time. Because the facility is just over the bluff, just down at the end of Division Road out there. By the sewage treatment plant. Mm-hmm. So the real differential is just in the cost of getting the material, the tipping fee to get it turned into compost. It's really the transportation really wasn't a big factor in it at all. However, Cold Canyon, we are in the process of trying to get an anaerobic digestion system built out of Cold Canyon so we can take care of our own stuff and not have to send it out of county. We'll have to go through the county planning department for that. Cold Canyon Landfill has been in front of the County Planning Department for 5 years waiting for their expansion, so the idea that we'll be able to do anything quickly with the County of San Luis Obispo is kind of far-fetched. So my guess is that if we were really lucky, it might happen in 2 years if we started tomorrow.
Somewhat like trying to clean out the Rio Grande Channel.
Very, very, very similar.
And is your company part of the Cold Canyon?
Waste Connections owns Cold Canyon Landfill as well.
Because didn't they just hit the top 10 worst offenders in the U.S. or something like that?
No.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking Waste Management.
Oh, okay. Good.
Waste Management is the number one largest, and they're larger by 10 times.
Okay.
We're number three.
I know. I was just stunned when I read that in USA Today. I was like, whoa.
Waste Connections. We are Waste Connections. Okay.
Do we need a motion?
Well, this is the discussion. This is the first public hearing, right?
No,
this is
second.
November 9th. We already had this one.
Oh, okay.
And so the next item is actually the resolution.
We do have public comment if you guys are through.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. Public comment, Tom.
Public comment on rate review is Mr. Zell Naylor.
All right, Ms. Naylor.
Thank you for the opportunity for public comment. I've been wanting to make public comment since Mr. Martin, I believe, brought the contract for the garbage company to me in April. I read William Statler's argument in favor of raising the rates, and these are just some suggestions for future negotiations with the garbage company. For one, what I noticed about Mr. Statler's report is it didn't produce actual figures for their expenditures. It talked about estimated costs and projected costs. And one issue that I had with that report, not only was the page missing, which I got, which had those figures. I had to go and get the page from the company. But also, in his report, he clearly suggested that if the board asks for actual figures concerning their expenditures, that the garbage company could raise their rates even higher for the privilege of the board knowing exactly what their expenditures are, and that expressly violates their written contract, because it's expressly written in the contract that the company shall not charge them if the board decides it wants to see its actual figures. As far as the Prop 228 mailing, I didn't receive that. Now, I may be wrong in my memory, but I didn't receive that. But I did clearly attempt to protest the rate twice in the earlier meeting. I think it was in April or May, and I was not allowed to speak and say the things that I wanted to say now. So other than that, we need to make money off of that compost. That may not be something we can do immediately, but Cal Poly used to have a compost program. They don't have one now. There ought to be a way that we can make money out of that and make clean energy out of some of it.
You know, I mean, we have to stay in line with that because, you know, this was a community here not so long ago that didn't have a real trash collection. We made it mandatory. And since that time, the town has just looked so much better, and it's just you know, health wise and even energy wise. I mean, if you had to own a trailer to haul your trash out to the dump yourself, if you look at the 3-can rate that Roy Grandy is charging and Grover is charging and you know, they're around the $25 number, and then you come to us, and you know, we're up to $35, and that's probably going to, you know, be bumped here soon. But I just see it where, you know, we're a board that provides a service to our community, and I'd really like us to look hard, maybe work on the finances with management to see if we can't, take some of that franchise fees to at least reduce the, the overburdening of, you know, it might not seem much, 50 cents, but year after year after year, it adds up. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of people in this town that are just not as well-to-do as, you know, Pismo, where you can pay $40 a month. So that's all I'd like to say. And then maybe if the finance committee could take this next year, and when there is up for review, that we might consider something like that if we can afford it. Or I'm not really sure what we're doing with that finance fee right off the top of my head, but anything that the public gives us, I think we should try to give it back.
Director Lucy or Director Hurta?
Well, I think it is a good idea to try to offset some of the increases and take a look at the franchise fees in the future. It only makes sense if it's something that we can afford.
Director Lucy?
Yeah, I would be willing to explore it, but I don't want to see us take from the infrastructure of the town. So if we're putting those franchise fees to the integrity infrastructure of the town, I think it's a small price to pay. So, but if you want to explore it at a later time, I'd be happy to talk about it. You know, because the saving is a savings, but if we're putting that money to really good use, then I don't know. Willing to hear more about it, but I don't want to take from the.
Regarding this resolution, are there any changes anybody would suggest to this resolution?
Go
flat 5%? No. I'm just kidding.
I think the resolution...
I'm going to eat more next year.
Okay, is there a motion?
Also move to pass resolution 2011-10, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service Districts confirming the compliance of the protest procedures in Section 6, Article 13D of the California Constitution, adopting increased rates and changes for the commercial and residential collections and disposal of solid waste.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Your voice vote? Roll call.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
And President Guerrero?
Yes. Passes by a vote of 4-0. Director Angelo is not present. Moving to item 10D, discussion possible draft letter to stop the flow of seawater intrusion misinformation. Is there any public comment, Mr. Gieslin?
I have a lot of public comment, but I'd like to basically make my presentation
sure.
First.
Why don't we start there?
And then open it up to your questions and then take the public comment.
Thank you.
I'm going to need about 2 minutes, 3 minutes to set up.
Okay.
Control F, Ken.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's a behind the letter from Eddie.
Company picked up the transport. I can hear Dave in the back saying,
okay,
tell
if you
Mary
want to.
I walked. Because I was giving a shit about it.
Director Guerrero, if you want to call it.
Yes, if we can call this meeting back to order.
Okay, so what prompted this presentation was that there has been a fairly common bantering about seawater intrusion in Oceano, and there was a tremendous amount of hearsay, a tremendous amount of subject to discussion. What really triggered this was there was a land use that went before the Planning Commission, and Adam Hill's member of the Planning Commission during the presentation of the land use on Sheridan Road didn't approve the project because it was an industrial project, didn't approve it because she said that there's seawater intrusion in Oceano. And that caused a bunch of phone calls. And then our friends above the Mesa have a highlights in that project is they are citing seawater intrusion. So when I got here, I heard 27 different stories of, as we all have, as to whether there was seawater intrusion or not. And we belong to a group called the Northern Cities Management Association, which I hold a seat, and John Wallace, as our district engineer, is a participant, along with Grover, AG, and Pismo. And we basically discuss the ways that we manage our water. And in an NCMA report in 2009-2010, they made a statement that there were chemical signatures in one of our Sentry wells that could be characteristically described as seawater intrusion. Now, what originally happened, as it's been explained to me by several people that advise us, that way back when, we had a group called Todd Engineering out of the Bay Area that was working with in conjunction with the county, that the county would test the wells, and then that test data would go to Todd Engineering, and they would report back to us our water quality. Supposedly, the county had been chartered with testing these wells over a period of time, but for some reason it never got done on the schedule that it was supposed to be done. In 2009, Todd Engineering released some data that said that there was a chemical signature in one of our wells that resembled seawater intrusion. What I have on the screen now is the Wallace report that was given to this board back in October 28th of 2009, and I'm going to walk you through it. And at the time, there was not a lot of, as we go through this report, you'll see that there wasn't a lot of major concern. Now, it was brought to me, to my attention, and I did confirm it, that when Todd Engineering had the data, that data didn't come to Oceano first. It went to AG, Grover, and Pismo. And as you all know, Oceano gets treated like a second-class citizen on some things, whether it's deserved or not, I would argue. But and the data came in one of your previous board members that our demand is about that demand now. So we have a water buffer of 534 acre feet, and so what you need to understand is that Oceano has its groundwater, which we pump out of the wells that I'll bring up. We also have our Lopez contract, which we get supplemental water there, and we have a state water contract, which we also get water there. We are one of the few people in the San Luis County that has water from multiple sources, and there's been multiple discussions on what we're going to do with their access, but we're not going to discuss that here. So they put out what our water supply reliability was going to be, and so GW and the groundwater and Lopez, we have full allocations, as you know, state water cycles with the amount of water that they release. Sometimes we get 44%. At one time, the lowest we got was 5%. Right now, we just came off a downtime where they shut us off for 3 weeks while they're doing maintenance. So the availability of that state water fluctuates due to technical conditions. And then, obviously, if the state's providing water and they can't meet it, then they scale everybody up and back. But for us, it's not a crucial factor because we have other sources. And he goes through the things that could affect us, the drought cycles, environmental factors, the bay and delta smelt. Up there, we get the water off the river, and so if there's an issue with the environmental aspect of it, they can cut us back. And then we have the reliability. Even though there's been a time that's been 5 and time that's 0, we've been averaging 40%. So our current adjusted supply is 1503, future demand is 1419, so we have a buffer of 84 acre feet. And I believe this was one of the things that we made the decision previously, that your previous board did, to contract with Arroyo Grande to sell them 100 acre feet on a temporary basis. Now, remember, this isn't my report. This is what Wallace provided us back in 2009. So water supply recommendations from the draft WMP, state water drought buffer, continued conservation efforts, reduce for unaccounted for water, and future water recycling efforts. And I'm happy to say that's going on now. If you Zone 3 and Zone 3 Tech, we discuss all these things on a regular basis. We discuss them also at the NCMA on a regular basis. So here we have our graph of the 2008 water use summary. State water was 377, Lopez was 278, groundwater was 247, and the breakdown surface water 73%, groundwater is 27%. The numbers now, our groundwater that we pump is less than 30 acre feet a year. So we no longer, because of our supplemental water and because we're in a surplus at Lopez, you can't get cheaper water than that, so we're using that water. Plus, we're being great neighbors and protecting the groundwater pump. And here's a breakdown of what the costs were in 2009, and they're fairly close. Our water bill right now, where it says 814.5, I believe it's like around 845 to 860 was our current bill. So we've had marginal increases then. And it's by far and away the largest bill that we have to write, and you've had all sorts of consternation about those bills in the past, but I'm happy to say they're all current, and we got the money to pay for the new bills coming in. So, so where do we get our water from? So we know we get it from Lopez. We know we get it from the state water pipeline. We work in conjunction with the county in Zone 3, and we control our allocations of those. And Oceano is very fortunate that they have what we call production wells and monitoring wells. Wells number 7 and 8 are just down the road here at the fire station. It's all roped off. This is where we also had the fire training. We very seldom do we use well 7. We use well 8. On occasion, and that's powered by a very large, electric motor that we do. And we document every time we pump groundwater on a daily basis. We know exactly what we pump, and we transfer it on a monthly basis to the NCMA, and now they're asking for daily as we improve our groundwater management. So it talks about the depth of the well. Well 7 is 162. Well number 8 is 525. And here we see a former retired member, and he's across the street in the depot. And in the depot, we have four monitoring wells, which are called green, blue, yellow, and silver, of which green, blue, and yellow are active today. The silver well had a corruption in the casing, and so it's for us to monitor our water quality, and we use that. So if you look up here, we have a group at our northern border. We have one here. These are the Century wells that I just showed you on the picture. We have another well here. I can't read it on the thing. Bad context. There's another one here. We have the red, blue, and green, which we just talked about, which are right across the street. And then down here, right on the beach, we have another well that is where there's a kiosk there, and you see our well, and that's the one that they go out and test. So we've got fairly broad coverage for our immediate area. So here's a graph of the wells that I just showed you, and it shows their depth, and this is in feet. Okay? So the ones across the street, or the one that we got the signature characteristic from, was this group right here. And you have a well that's 25 foot deep, right? And then you have a well that's is 200. This blacked out area is what they call a buffer zone or a well screen. And then here we have one of right around 50. And this well is on Pier Avenue, and it's, if you know Pier Avenue, you go to
Pier Liquor.
You have Pier Liquor, you have the state campground, and you have assorted road traffic from all this stuff going on and off, right, from coming off the beach. So that was the well, and here is the well that when the report came out, we went and did an inspection. Okay? Now, if you notice on the picture, you see how the foliage is all brown. Because when we have rain events, that well's underwater. Okay? And you can see that it gets overgrown. There was a homeless camp here. You've got Pure Liquor over here. You've got the state park campground right there. And so that was the well that was in question. This is a picture of when they opened the well after the report came out. Now, what you see here is this is a shovel. This is the water that has filled up the well because this well is underwater quite often. Okay? And you notice this has no cap. And you notice this has a cap, but it's been
moved away.
Okay? Here, they're pulling up the access port to the well. And you can see that it's below grade, which is below water. And you can see the amount by the existing of the cap that on the one that they did remove, you can see all the contaminants that went down into the well. Now we go to Century Well F1203, which is another location, and you see that it's not underwater. He's pulling the top up. And there's the monitoring well, and you can see that there's earth around it, and there's the caps. They're all in place. Okay. So then the Wallace Group gave us a brief history of seawater intrusion. Now, I have read probably 7 hydrology books in the last 2 months, and everybody uses this explanation.
Right.
Okay, and I'm sure you've all seen it before. So what we have here is we have the ocean as we know it, the seabed, the seawater aquifer, of which seawater is heavier than freshwater, and we have what they call the seawater aquifer interface. It's also called the mixing zone. It's called several different things. And then we have our aquifer as we have it. We have a century well, like we just showed you. And then we have surface water that goes through our land, which we have a great sand area that purifies our water and pushes it in. Okay. So this is what was presented in 2009. This is the chart that they identified that 30N2 had the high fluoride concentrations, which are a signature for seawater intrusion. If you notice, when I start familiar with it, I'm not going to go into it. Work with northern cities and other agencies to augment or decrease pumping of groundwater and to purchase state water, drought buffer water. Continue to explore recycled water options in investigation of seawater intrusion barrier project. And return to the board with more detail on cost-sharing alternatives, which is, we had the gentleman's agreement, the NCMA came into play, and we equally share and participate in the costs that are directly related to Oceana. For example, anything that has to do with Lopez Dam or the transport of water, Director Searcy goes to the zone, to the tech with me. We participate, we go through the numbers, we share the deal. Because Oceano's allocation is smaller, we pay less, but we pay a proportionate share. Now, when I saw this report, I thought, well, seawater intrusion is questionable, right? If you look at this report, nobody's jumping up and down saying that there's a problem. Nobody's jumping up and down and saying that this is something we should be worried about. Nobody's highlighting. Todd Engineering got fired because they brought the data in so matter-of-factly that they got fired, and we went to WSC and GEI, they became our hydrologists, and they started implementing what the NCMA started to do. So for all the people that are out there that are thinking we really didn't have seawater intrusion, if you were remembering this report, you were right. But you're also wrong. Because what happened was, next, was, and I'm doing my very best to keep this in check, what happened next was somebody thought, wait a minute, we have an opportunity here. And our board, along with the four other people that belong to the NCMA, issued a letter to Pavel Ogren saying that we had evidence of characteristics that could point to seawater intrusion, and we don't want that to ever, we don't want our state water allocations to be cut back because we have evidence of seawater intrusion. So I'm not, we, and I want to be really clear about this, whatever our friends and neighbors do that we don't have an agreement with, that's their problem, right? That's, if it's Santa Maria, if it's Napomo, if it's Santa Margarita, that's their problem. If we have an agreement in the NCMA, then we got to go forward with that, and that's our goal, and that's our tool to ensure all this stuff. And so what's happening is that you've got two sides. And my position as staff, my recommendation to you guys is that we already have an agreement that we accept the NCMA reports. The NCMA reports reiterate multiple times that there was, in 2009, there were characteristics issued of seawater intrusion. This board previously sent out a letter saying there were characteristics of seawater intrusion, so we don't want our state water allocations to be cut back. And so that elevates us up the pipeline. The county likes it too, because when they're doing their gross water management plan, they also include that, because that elevates us up the deal. Where I have a problem is when somebody like the planning commissioner, who was functioning on hearsay, cancels a project because she said there was seawater intrusion without the facts. What you guys have had a problem is that every time they talk about Oceano on something, somebody throws in the fact that there's seawater intrusion. And my position is you can't have it both ways. A board, an elected board, went forward and said, yes, there was, and so we are obligated, in my mind, and my recommendation is that you accept it, but you understand the facts why. Now, I don't want to get into the political football that's being kicked around. We get a black eye sometimes because of it, but we also benefit because it's fairly well documented, the DWR and the California Water Authority, that when they look at Oceano in this area, if there's a problem with their state water cutbacks, we still get our allocation. What somebody else is doing at their deal, that's their deal. We don't care. We have no jurisdiction over them. We have no deal. When I told this board directly that once I took this job that I canceled all my other business interests, and a lot of you know some of the ones I canceled, I'm pumping with what AG's pumping and what Pismo's pumping and what Grover Beach is pumping, and tying all that together so that we as Oceano and the NCMA are coming forward with a true water management plan, and we are sensitive and we'll be able to react. And one thing I'd like to point out that really kind of caught me off guard, most of you know I'm extremely proactive. And that happened where they were monitoring quarterly, and nobody thought it was important until just recently to start monitoring on a regular basis. They still continue to monitor quarterly. If we'd had another incident like that, we would be monitoring daily or monthly and confirming. So that's the history as it was explained to me by every single consultant. I'm referencing the original Wallace report with the pictures and the data. The NCMA stuff is all, we all have copies of it. Most of you are well familiar with the efforts that we have there. But as far as what our neighbors are doing, we don't have a dog in the fight. We don't care. It's their deal. Open it up to your questions, and I'll open up to the public questions.
Do you have a staff recommendation on item 10C?
My recommendation is we do not draft a letter, and we make this position that instead of a letter, we do a release that just says we had, just like the report says, we had a signature that of characteristics that point toward seawater intrusion. It was a one-time event, and we haven't seen it since, and we've increased our monitoring, but it's an Oceano issue and not anybody else's.
I would agree on that approach wholeheartedly, but I would really emphasize the increased monitoring. At that time, being the only board member, I guess, that was here for that report, one thing that the difference in the reports is the level of hysteria that is now removed from the report. Because when that report first came to the board, right, the level of on how it was presented today versus when it was presented by the paid, very well-paid engineer is night and day. And so I do appreciate you putting it into perspective and giving a little bit fairer view of that. Yes, I do remember the letter that did come out from this board. At the time we discussed this letter of ownership, it was agreed that we would all participate in the neighborly thing. But like you said, you know, we don't have a dog in the fight, and so we're not going to. But the deal was is that everybody was going to attempt to cut back, but things happen. So that is when this letter was created.
Correct.
That it was in collaboration with others. That
three other member agencies.
Well, there was one neighbor that there could not, they would not commit. But I know that our largest said that they would make every attempt to pull back. I know the agricultural community definitely, you know, said that they would do everything to attempt to pull back up off the groundwater too as well. So that was kind of like where we were in this letter, when this letter was created. It's actually a form letter. You'll find one from PISMO that's similar.
Well, what as I understand it, our district engineer wrote that in conjunction with the other district.
You bet. And was leader of the pack.
Right.
And I think that is where we do have a dog in the fight.
Well, but that's not for discussion right now.
Right. Not this dog fight. But it needs to be discussed because it's been very, very costly to the community. And so we do need to stick to, yeah, we had a dirty, nasty well, but we've increased our testing daily. And it's a one-time thing, and we'll ensure the quality. So I agree with your approach on this.
I, too, Tom, agree with your recommendation. I think it's very astute and very succinct. And I think the district will benefit from this approach a great deal.
Director Searcy?
As do I. You know, being a previous board member and sitting on the district for a lot of years and being able to deal with the water issues of Oceano, this is a long time coming. I think that dirt is as black as it gets, and they grow year round, and to see that, if you can see what's happening in the San Joaquin Valley with, you know, where the water went bad. I mean, there's fields and fields of just white powder, and nothing's growing there. I think this is the best approach. We've always tried to be the good neighbor, and I think we should continue. And now that we have staff and the ability to kind of look after ourselves in our monitoring and not have to rely on reports of somebody who might have vested interest all over the field. I do agree with staff and hopefully we'll be able to prove our issue down the road.
Okay, go ahead.
I forgot one other thing. Also in your board package is the NCMA draft and the synopsis, which is basically what I've described to you, and I didn't want to go into it. One thing I need to explain is when I had that chart up there that showed the standard graph of how seawater intrusion takes place and all that, the way the hydrologist explained to me is that makes it look like it's layer cake. So each level, you're going to hit that. And the reality of it is that the water is more like zebra stripes. So you're going to have high concentrations in one area, and so you don't get the you can't use layer cake thinking like they show you on the two-dimensional deal. You have to kind of step away and look at it.
Sure.
And their reason for the one testing anomaly is that we've had significant rainfall since then. By us reducing pumping, it has helped force whatever came in out to its area. And I agree. In my opinion, we should agree as well, because you can't have it both ways.
Is there any public comment, Mr. Giesel?
Oh yeah, I got a bunch.
Great.
I'll go in order I received them. That would be Liam Bennett.
Actually, I'm okay after your presentation.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay,
my family will appreciate that. Mr. Petrick.
Yes, my name's Bill Petrick. I live in the Pomo. I'm a registered professional engineer, and I've been following this water issues on the Mesa for quite a few years now, and attend most of the NMMA technical group meetings, so I'm aware of what these court-appointed groups are doing. And I'd like to say that Tom said, you don't have a dog in this fight, and I think that's not quite right. This is the whole basin. The one thing the court did was establish that this is one whole basin from deep in Santa Maria all the way up here. And the nature of that basin is very deep down there, and it narrows down, thins out, and hits the ocean right around here. So you're very dependent on what happens on the Mesa, and we're dependent on the Mesa, what's going on in Santa Maria. And I think the problem, if you extend this thinking about the potential seawater intrusion, is that the NMMA group, in their technical report, has identified an area of concern, which is right over here down off the Mesa. And there has been historically a buffer, a pressure buffer, where the potentiometric surface, as Tom said, is higher there, and it forces the water towards the ocean. And if that pressure reduces, the ocean pressure kind of pushes in. So you can see this kind of going in and out. And this doesn't happen like a reservoir. It's all water in the dirt, so it happens slowly. But anyway, if that pressure reduces up on the Mesa, you're going to see the effects down here. So you can monitor your wells every day. You can do all the right things, and it's still going to happen. So what you need to do is convince the county, as we keep trying to do, that this is a regional issue, and we all have to cooperate and establish ways to control the water issue all the way from the Mesa down here, and not just look at it on these little individual regional or local issues, because you'll never be able to solve the problem that way. and this idea of the
presentation, Mr. Gieslin. I think you have a very fine manager here, and I think you did an excellent job at explaining your situation. However, I would ask you to please do not draft any letter if it's going to support seawater intrusion. We have been deluged. I live in the Woodlands section of Napomo. I lived in Black Lake for 5 years before I moved to Woodlands. I won't discuss the reasons why. They're not really relevant. But we are subjected to literature that looks like this at enormous cost, and it's the customers of NCSD that are paying for this kind of literature that is extremism at its worst. This pipeline and the water that it will bring some of the state water allocation that Santa Barbara County gets to Napomo. It flows right through Napomo before it goes to Santa Maria, and we're going to build a pipeline for $40 or $50 million to bring it back. The pipeline is the cheap part. I'm not concerned about the cost of the pipeline. The water starts at $1,550 per acre foot in 2012. It goes up. Santa Maria has increased its cost 5% per year in the last 2 years. So if it increases only 4%, we're looking at a cost of increasing the acre foot in 10 years to $2,200 per acre foot, $3,300 10 years later, and a total project cost of something over $300 million. All that money flows south out of San Luis Obispo County to Santa Barbara County. That's what you're going to encourage if you send a letter stating you had seawater intrusion. I'm serious about this. That's their only strong argument. I'm part of the Mesa Community Alliance. We're a group of citizens. We don't hold any public office. Most of us are lucky enough to be retired and can spend hours and hours and hours researching and trying to come up with numbers. But we are being sold a project that will not solve the water problem. It will not solve the water problem. I've distributed information in my community, and I had a gentleman come to me in the first week in December and say, I want to meet with you. He lives part-time here, part-time up in San Ramon. He found this lovely little desal plant in San City, which is part of Monterey County. San City got tired of waiting for Monterey County to get its political guns together to get the desal plant built. Okay, they've got one in the works, but it's in a lot of politics. San City built a plant for $12 million in 5 years. In 5 years. They don't need a lot of water there. It only produces 300 acre feet. But it is an incredible project. It's endorsed by the Sierra Club and others. I had this gentleman come to me and say, we want to build one of these here. Now, if all this money goes south, the money isn't going to be there to do projects like this. And we've come up with probably a dozen other good solutions. So please, people, have some consideration for the people in Napomo, people who are retired, who have been living there for 25 years.
You exceeded your time.
3 minutes.
I know my time is out, but we have people very much like your people, and they cannot afford another $30 a month for their water bill, and that's what's going to happen, plus their tax assessment. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Eby.
Thank you.
Next we have Carol Henson, followed by Ed Eby.
Carol Henson, Oceano. I want to address this issue. It's been around for a while and kicked around. However, as this woman before me spoke, you know, I do believe that, by the way, I want to thank you very much, Tom. That's the best assessment I've ever heard of the exact chronology of the events of that event. The only thing that concerns me about that is I think this is something that we all wish would be resolved and can go away. Unfortunately, when it was let out of the gate, two things have changed other than the initial letter that got by the Wallace Group that the board did approve.
when that letter went out of the gate, you know, it was started a change of events, which we still are dealing with, and as I just said, we'd all like to resolve and get it put under the rug. However, I'm afraid it's going to keep coming back to visit us in different ways. And since that letter was sent, there are two things that changed the complexion of that whole water deal and the surplus water. And that's, number one, we had a lot of rain, and Governor Brown declared that there was no longer a drought. And that changed the complexion of that. And then the saltwater intrusion, you know, has been propagated, and as it says in your agenda here, it's misinformation, and it's, you know, continues to go forward, and I do believe that if the board does, I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have to take some accountability for this, because this has legs and it's going to go on forever. And Oceano, I would really love to just be able to write that letter and accept it and monitor the wells, but I'm afraid it set a chain of things and emotions that I think we all morally need to really think about, and it's a hard decision to think about that letter and what we as a board can do and about that. I'm perplexed about it myself, but I don't think it's going to go away, and it will have repercussions for years down the road. And it may cost us money in our next drought, because that would mean that one of our neighbors would be able to get state water, even though they're not a subscriber to the state water, and that would mean that we would have the inability to say sell that neighbor water. They wouldn't need it. And so we need to consider the future, not just now. So I really, with a heavy heart, say I agree with the previous people that we shouldn't write that letter. However, I wish to heck we could.
Thank you, Ms. Henson.
Thank you.
Next we have Ed Eby.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, I'm Ed Eby. I'm from Napomo. I'm also a director on the Napomo Community Services District. And the reason I came here tonight was because I had heard about some concern about misinformation. And I think a lot of that has been cleared up here, but I would just like to further make sure that you don't think that any of this misinformation came from me. I'd like to give you each a package here.
Thank you.
That I will discuss.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The reason I put this out is you had in the staff report put an article that I had written in the Dana Adobe, and there was not attribution to all of the bullet points.
Is there an echo going on or something? Okay, go ahead, sir.
There was not attribution to all the bullet points I had in that article, because they were edited out by the newspaper. So what I'm giving you here is a footnoted copy of that article, and in it I have footnoted the three areas where I talked about seawater intrusion, and I have told where the source of that information was from. The first one was you are susceptible to seawater intrusion if you're next to the ocean, and that came from the DWR, and the citation is in the footnote. The second one says seawater intrusion has been and is continuing in Los Osos. That's in the report by the ISJ group, which you can see in that footnote. The third one, which more pertains to you, talks about seawater intrusion in Oceano that occurred in May and October of 2009. I say occurred. I didn't say is occurring or still exists. If you read the footnote down below, it refers to the NCMA annual reports in 2009 and 2010, where the seawater intrusion is described in detail. 2009, they described the seawater intrusion and the suggested methods to combat it. 2010, they talk about how the success of the seawater intrusion combating, and that was the backing off of the pumping, getting more state water and Lopez water, and reducing your pumping from the wells that are closer to the ocean. So those issues are not misinformation, they are information. The second thing that in your package is an article from the Santa Maria Times from 2009. It talks about Grover City or Grover Beach describing seawater intrusion, and you can read that in your leisure. The third one is a series of letters that you wrote, not you, but your predecessors wrote, to the county saying you had seawater intrusion, you wanted to back off on your freshwater pumping and get more state water to combat it. This letter was written by your district.
Mr. Eby, we're at time, please. Thank you.
And three other agencies, as you can see. So the information is not information misinformation. It's information that originated from you and other viable sources.
Thank you, sir.
Next we have Mr. Giselle Mailer.
There's a lot of good information put forward tonight concerning the water needs of our neighbors, the water availability of Oceano. Since I was an applicant to be a director on the board, and I plan on running next November in the election for directors, I made a point of trying to study the water issue. I got threatened with arrest. I got denied access to public records. And in fact, I did get arrested for asking for information related to the water. So I wish I had more information coming into this discussion. I tried, but let me make some observations. I do feel intense empathy for a resident in Napomo that comes forward and says that it's going to cost $1,550 for a 1,000-acre feet. I believe that was the cost. Am I right on that?
Per acre foot.
$1,550 per acre feet. On the other hand, you have to look at what is causing that need for water, that intense need on the Mesa. And the question is, are the large 1,000-home developments that are being put in by a couple of developers, did they really have the foresight when they put in those large developments of where they were going to get their water from, the quality and the amount of the water that the residents of those houses were going to need and use? So, you know, where is the responsibility of the developers on this? And where is the responsibility of the board members in each community in deciding to allow that type of development to occur? So in trying to answer the questions, how to distribute this water, how to conserve it, how to maintain it, I looked, my attempt as just one person was to look over a period of years in the public documents that Oceano has. There are competing reports, seawater, yes, seawater, no. You know, what is our water need at build out? That varies depending on the report and the year. So I guess in trying to keep this short, I would really encourage access for the public that wants to study this issue to be given the records to be able to study the issue.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Yeah, we have Karen White, last one.
Karen White, 1566 Hiawatha Lane, Halcyon. I have the same dog in this fight that you guys do, because Halcyon gets her water from the same little aquifers that Oceana does. And I have a personal well, so I really have a dog in the fight. And I very much want to support Tom's idea about the letter, because facts are facts. There is an undeniable fact that a water well, which nobody really proved was contaminated or not. They said it looks dirty, but there's no absolute proof that there was not saltwater intrusion in that well on that day. But I also want to remind Nipomo, and Mr. Searcy, you probably know more about it than I do, but there was a time when state water was available, and I do believe that people criticized Oceano for getting it, and Nipomo said they didn't need it. And I think the water that Nipomo buys now from wherever they get it, including from Santa Maria, in 20 years will be really, really cheap, because in California, whiskey's for drinking and water is only for fighting over. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
We have no other comments. I want to make one other clarification.
Sure.
I keep mentioning the Northern Cities Management Association, and that is us, AG, Grover, Pismo, and that's our management group. Nipomo belongs to what they call an NMA, which is Nipomo Mesa Management Group or Association. And that consists of NCSD, Trilogy Water, Gold State Water, Ed, who else is it? Rural Water, and ConocoPhillips. And because of the Santa Maria groundwater legislation, or judge's decision, we are held in our group, and they're held in their group. Now, on some things we do confer with, and one of them is recycled water, right, that we're starting to swap notes on, and but the two don't meet because of the deal of the lawsuit. And so, you know, that's, they have theirs, we have ours, and that's why I said we really don't have a dog in this fight, and we are restricted by law to not take a position either way on their situation.
Could I have you restate your recommendation again, Tom?
I recommend that we put out a release that says that, yes, there was seawater intrusion at this time period, but we had not had any seawater intrusion since.
Any board comment?
What I'd like clarity on is, okay, we want to state in the letter that, yes, we had seawater intrusion. However, throughout the discussion this evening, I've heard characteristics of seawater.
That was bad choice words on my field.
And susceptible. We have no proof.
I'm basically just saying we're going to quote what's in the NCMA.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to go by, but we're going to say it happened in 2009 and there have been no evidence of it since.
And can I ask you, the letter that went from the board, did it say that we had?
Oh, yeah, you got a copy of it in your board.
Okay, it actually said that we had, not the characteristics, but the report said characteristics and the board said we had seawater intrusion.
Based on the engineer's report. I have a question. Relevance of the letter.
Well, let me finish it. It said recent water quality analysis from the deeper zones of this sensory well bear the chemical signatures of seawater intrusion. These chemical signatures were discovered to be in an elevated state in May of 2009 and dramatically elevated state in August of 2009. In addition, groundwater elevations near or some were below sea level in the vicinity of the sensory well. Because of this potential threat of groundwater quality, the Northern Cities Management Group, ta-da.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the signature at that time, and we haven't had it since. And there's tons of data that supports that.
Okay, and I understand that it was a one-time, basically anomaly. However, it really, I'm very unsettled that we have something coming from the board that just flat out said that we had it, and now we have to come behind it and make it look good. And
I'm going to reference what Mr. Eby said. He submitted us something to the Adobe Press, and they cut out
certain salient points that he was trying to make. That's all happened to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is you got the game of telephone going where I say something to Molly, she says it to you. By the time it gets to Carol Ann, you know, I like to stand on the roof and crow, right? So that's kind of what's happened. And it's all dogpiled, and so I took it back to ground one, and that's why it took me a while to find all this information. Once I got it, and then I did lots of phone interviews with all the hydrologists involved and did a lot of reading and a lot of studying. And, you know, we are part of a group that had the foresight to get the supplemental water.
Yes.
We are part of a group that has the foresight to continue to monitor our water quality. And, yes, we spend the money, but where we have been delinquent in other things in this district through the, as Mrs. White said, through the deal, Oceano made a lot of the right moves.
Yes.
And we need to be, that's what we want to put out there. And like I said, their fight is their fight. We really don't have a dog in it.
And I do agree with that. I just think what's happening now is I'm exercising my frustration in the situation. I agree wholeheartedly with what you have recommended, but it's so, you know, after the fact. But it's where we are.
I know. I brought up something earlier in this meeting.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'm actually more upset about that. I'm still looking for those public facility fees.
I
know they're here. I just haven't found them yet. And to me, that's more alarming.
You know, this is where I'm kind of stuck on it, is I'm not even sure we would be, you know, going through this if Napomo wasn't having their water, their growth problems right now. And so
we know that.
You say that we don't have a dog in the fight, right? But, you know, it's nested in with Napomo's water problems, which, you know, it's been a weird neighborly relationship. So are we or aren't we? Because I'm feeling like, no, there's something else going on here. Why are we putting so much effort into something that happened 3 years ago? The train has done left the station. The water has gone through our sewer systems already. You know, everybody got surplus water off the saltwater threat. And so why are we back here again? It has to be pointing up the hill. So either, you know, either put the game on the table and so we're all in it, understand what's going on, or I don't understand why we're doing this letter right now unless it's because of what's going on up at the hill. And I see people in the audience going like this. So that tells me we do have a dog in the fight. And what is the issue here? Somebody, please.
I'm going to have to refer to our NCMA council with Molly before we do this, because if you remember, when I first stepped into this seat, and I am a ratepayer in Napomo, and some of the people in this room, 90 to 100 days before I said that, I attended a meeting and I brought some points up. And then a week after I was here, somebody sent out an email and quoted me as if I said it yesterday, and I had 7 attorneys jump all over me, thanks to some of the people in this room, for taking an adversarial position. And that's, we are legally, because of that Santa Maria groundwater thing, to mind Oceano's business and there to mind their business.
And you know what? Quite frankly, I think that you have done an excellent job at separating it. And I'm not so sure, in living in one geographic area and managing another, right? And then having to deal with the politics. As an individual, I think that you've been very, very professional and fair in every act. What I don't understand is if the northern cities want us and I'm not even sure who we would send the letter to. I think I'm pretty clear who would benefit from it, but I'm not sure why we're doing it at this point, unless it's strictly because of the politics on the Hill.
It's not all the politics. It does stem from the Santa Maria groundwater litigation and the requirements imposed by the settlement and by the court. And those will impact the northern cities. What Nipomo does, and there are certain obligations down that way, what they do will impact us, and how they comply with their requirements or not comply, I think, is kind of the present problem, that our group is concerned about non-compliance, which will fall back on our ability to comply with terms of the settlement. And I think that's where this all started. It's probably gotten kind of blown out of proportion and taken some tentacles off track a little bit. But the initial concerns came from the compliance with the court's order in the settlement agreement way back when.
And what was the court's order besides sustain the gentleman in the northern cities, right? Continue the dialogue, you know.
I know that it's a lifelong
litigation.
No, there's specific requirements for providing water and procuring water.
Right.
And they were supposed to, apparently, and I don't know all the details. It's a complex and multi-year, multi-party litigation. But there were requirements about procuring and providing water.
Okay, so back to the letter. Is it something that is required?
Well, no. What triggered this was you gave me the assignment to go forward and pull this information together because you were tired of going to a meeting.
That's right.
And having somebody walk up to you and say, well, there's seawater intrusion in Oceano.
Right.
You were tired of it coming out on the Planning Commission because somebody called you and said that.
We've got
numerous complaints about the NCSD's ad that they sent out to everybody showing is in a four-color picture that there's seawater intrusion in Oceano because it's interpreted that it's happening now, and it's not. And so you requested of me to go pull this together and do
that's
the history,
good.
And that's what I'm doing. And what I'm recommending is we put a letter or a press release out that says this is Oceano's deal. I don't take direction from Mr. Eby and Mr. Harrison and their NCSD board. I take it from you. How they solve their supplemental water issue that the judge told them to go solve, that's their issue. It does have overall effects. And in a perfect world, we would have this great regional water group that is proactive and does a lot of things. But you sit on the rack. There's 39 members there. How much stuff do you guys actually get done in a time period?
Not much.
So you're trying to make a perfect world scenario, and what I'm trying to do is we're done with this. This is what happened, and we're going forward.
Right, and you're trying to put it to bed, and I'm with you on that. But I don't understand how these two groups got involved with that.
Well,
and it was me who came to you and said, yes, please, if you can stop this rumor from happening, and you've done everything you can, you've thrown everything to it. But I don't understand how these groups show up on our business. I don't see how the two come together. I understand what you've done. You've done exactly what we've asked you as a board. I don't understand.
I believe Director Guerrero was part of that as well.
That's true, I was.
Yes.
I was part of that.
I believe that in a perfect world, the Nipomo Services District, since they know this was an anomaly and they know that there is no seawater intrusion, would put out a statement saying that because
won't.
Those are the facts. And that would clear that up.
It's on their
website. Would be gone.
It's on their website.
Well, I don't care where it is. We have the facts. It was a one-time thing, an anomaly, and you know that it's not factual now. Make a statement.
The chair of RAC, Mike Wynn, almost opens up every RAC meeting with announcements from it. You know, so...
And it would be over. It would be over for all of us.
We asked him to do. So I don't understand.
Okay, well, I want to redirect you back.
We're about Oceano's business. We can't
right,
tell
Right, and Napomo. That is our business
we
right
We can't
there.
Tell Napomo what to
well,
do.
No, I'm saying in a perfect world, in a perfect scenario, that would be the course to take.
I have one last public comment that we need to address.
And who was that?
Giselle Mailer.
She already had public comment.
She already spoke on the
it's
issue.
On, she has a chance to comment on this. Please.
A new issue on what item?
It's a different point.
It's an item?
I don't think
is it an item
we're still on the same agenda item. I don't think she can.
You raised a new issue that concerns the allocation of water and the groundwater litigation.
No, this is no. Part of it. Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Okay, I'd just like to...
I'd like to object.
Like to say, I I've been fortunate enough to be involved with Oceano's water, and I agree with Tom. I think this is something that we need to put out. Now, the other issues with Napomo, and there is still a few issues within our own zone, Zone 3. There's a gentleman's agreement, and it has to be where at some point all of us look for that supplemental water so these issues don't come up. But what I see in it, and I've been fortunate enough to go out throughout California and see what happened to smaller districts that turned into the mud up in San Jose and the big, huge water districts. Mm-hmm. You know, 75% of their water is reclaimed. And we're not even, that's what's happening here. I beat the drum the last time I was on the board for reclamation water. And that's what needs to happen. If they're looking for that supplemental water, you start reusing your resource, and you go to reclaim water. It's phenomenal how much water that can be reclaimed.
That's actually something that's being looked at the sanitation district right
well,
now to see whether or not it's viable.
And I brought that to the sanitation district over 10 years ago. And I mean, they... John Wallace can chase it around well,
there,
all he wants.
There is a recycled deal, and Napomo is also looking at doing recycled at their place too.
But we can't direct
but
them.
But we're not directing
right,
them.
That's their issue. Right.
But I just say, you know, this it not only just needs to happen in Napomo; it needs to happen here.
So I think the discussion and now. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I see it. But I think, I think we're on the right track of releasing this kind of information out. I think Tom did a great job on it. And, we're going to have to take it to, on our side, I think we should start hammering that.
Tom, is there a way that we can put the letter out right and try to stay as far away from that hill as possible and let them work through their stuff?
I think if we say what we just said, that allows them to go do their deal. It puts clarification to the mix. The goal is to eliminate all the hearsay evidence so projects aren't declined because of seawater intrusion in the ocean.
If we can do that, I'm fine with it. But I just don't want to...
I see we have three options. One is we can do nothing. Second is we can do a letter pursuant to your recommendation, Director, or Mr. Gieslin. And the third is to... I forgot my... I didn't take any notes. It's getting late. We haven't gone this late in a long time.
I got to explain to the crowd that we haven't had a meeting go past 7:30 in five or six meetings. So
yeah, I'm
turning out of shape.
I'm turning into a pumpkin. So we can do nothing, or we can have a motion. And so I'll entertain a motion on either one of those.
Well, I'll move that we go with staff's recommendation and put that press release out.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. It's been moved by Director Searcy, seconded by Director Hurdle. Can I get a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And is there any abstains? Okay. Appears to pass 4-0.
Okay. We'll generate a review by council, and at the next meeting, I'll have it for your review before we send
Thank
it
you.
Out.
Moving to item number 11A, utility items will serve. APN 061-093-039.
Chairman Guerrero, this is, if you remember, State Parks came to us before they're redoing the entry there, and There's two APN numbers there, mm-hmm. and this is actually the same project, but they are putting it in, so this is a paperwork cleanup. So I move that you approve it.
Is there any public comment on this?
None.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll still move.
On the state parks, then.
Will serve.
Well, state parks will serve. Okay. Are you seconding?
Yes, second.
Okay. Can I get a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes 4-0.
Next, we have a project, the Lucas. They're converting a storage area to a guest home. Fire planning and staff has reviewed it. We recommend approval.
Okay. I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Rick's out the door. There we go.
Oh.
Aye. I heard you.
What's he doing?
I think we'll. Can we count him as an abstain? We have a 3 votes. We have him in quorum. Director Searcy, we just had a vote on item number 11B.
You voted yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The pass is 4-0. Fee letters, none. Is 12 now the closed session, or are we on to public comment?
No, there's no closed session.
Okay, thank you. Item number 13, public comment.
Public comment. Cheryl Henson.
All right. Ms. Henson?
Cheryl Henson, I just wanted to thank the board tonight for your all the work you've done. And I think the board is really working wonderfully together, and I want to thank Tom. And I'm sorry if I've contributed to your long meeting, but however, I did have some questions, and I did appreciate the way they were explained to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Henson. And you know how to reach me.
We have one more, Mr. Jim Harrison.
Mr. Harrison? Good evening, sir.
Hey, my name is Jim Harrison. I am the president of the Pullman Community Service District, if anyone didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
The thing I want to say is I think that Tom did a great job tonight. The other thing is, if you guys would go to our website, you would see that on the website it specifically indicates that there was a one-time event and that you no longer have a problem. And that's the information that we've been giving out. The information we've been doing something else is really someone else's opinion of what we're doing. But go to our website, take a look at it, and it will tell you specifically, it says that there was a one-time event and that you no longer have that problem. It also says, you know, I think it says something about the rain, massive rains and stuff like that has mm-hmm. assisted in water, and that you guys did the right thing by cutting back, and because you had the ability to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you guys have 3 sources of water, right. And the Pomo only has one.
We worked very hard for those 3 sources.
Yes, you did, and I'll
and
tell
we
you,
paid dearly.
I'll tell you right up front, the Pomo made a mistake 20 years ago. But you can't, and right now they'll tell you get water out of the pipeline, do this, do that. But I can tell you that we have spent over $1.5 million trying to figure out how to get consultants. If we were to get water out of the pipeline, the turnout that's at the Pomo, it would cost us $45,000 an acre foot.
Well, you know, excuse me, sir, with all due respect.
Can you get your microphone, Mary?
You know, you're talking to a community that has paid for state water since its inception, okay? Our job was to diversify our water source. As a very poor community, we have diversified better than any of the communities that overbuilt their resources. So I respect what you say, but I also, too, sit on that RAC committee and have listened to Mike Wynn repeatedly state and emphasize the saltwater intrusion in Oceano. So it has been harmful to us, and I'm very, very sorry for your hardships, but you're talking to a community that has sucked it up and paid for it from day one.
And I certainly appreciate that. All I'm saying is, if you hear someone say that we get the water there cheaper, they're wrong. The water from Santa Maria is the cheapest, and we've looked at about 15 different ways to get it. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Just one question, Mr. Harrison. What's your website address you were mentioning? If you were 15, you'd know this. But.
Yes, I know. If I were 15, I would know that right off the top of my head.
NCSD.org.
Is it NCSD? Okay.
NCSD.org.
Okay.
I don't know. It's NCSD something, but if you will send me.
Sure. I was just going to say for the community.
That information to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you so much.
Moving on to item number 14. Is that the end of the public comment, Tom?
We have no more public.
Okay. Item number 14, board member discussion. Hearing none. Item number 15, board member items for the next board meeting agenda.
There was only one thing I wanted to say under discussion, is that this year was the 35th San Luis Obispo Toy Run that Bernard's and Oceano is the coordinator and founder of. And this was the largest one ever. And I think there were over 500 bikes there. And it was really a great, great event.
Perhaps we should give some type of certification or certificate of appreciation to Bernard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, a commendation.
Great
yeah.
Company.
I mean,
great
why don't
business.
We put that on the agenda for, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. A commendation for Bernard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bernard did. We're very fortunate that he picked Oceano as the home for his business.
Sure.
Because it does bring in revenue.
That's awesome. I think on that same level, Fire Chief Hubert is going to be retiring. We have a new fire chief coming in. I think that we should send him something from RCSD, thanking him for his 5 years of service, for getting the fire department to where it is today, to be taken.
Maybe a resolution.
Something, some sort of recognition.
Some sort of resolution.
Yeah.
And then some sort of gift.
Yeah, I think that'd be appropriate.
Something written in script. Gold leaf lettering.
It's getting late.
Old school tattoo.
I realize you're still in the perfect world, but this is Oceano.
I have a proclamation.
No,
we'll recycle it.
We will definitely take care of that. We also have a card that I need you to sign for Commander Weckerly.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to give her one of our high-class, beautiful Oceano Community Service District dress shirts.
Oh, great. Dress shirts.
All right, is any other board?
I'd just like to thank all my constituents for their support and wish the public a happy holidays.
Right. Any written communications? None. And I think Director Angela is not with us tonight. Our thoughts and prayers are still with her. And with that, I'll move to adjourn.